Hey everyone, I'm back again to touch on a dream that I had that I'd mentioned previously in the video called The Silent Killer of the Church. And I mentioned that I had another dream, but that I didn't want to dive into it at that time because I didn't want to take away time from that video. So I'm back now with a dream that God gave me May the 1st. And in this dream, I forgot it. To be honest, I forgot it at first, and I woke up and I went and ran an errand that morning immediately. As I was getting in my vehicle from running that errand, I hit my head on the doorway of my Jeep when I was stepping up to get into it. And at that time, I instantly remembered my dream, because in my dream, I had hit my head. So the only reason I remembered it was because I physically hit my head in real life. And so in the dream, I had been in a car accident, and I woke up in the hospital because I was knocked unconscious, and it was from a head injury. That's all I knew in my dream, was that my head had been injured. And I was in the hospital bed in my dream, filling my head, trying to fill and find the injury, because I wanted to feel where it was. I knew it was on my head. And I could find nothing. I felt nothing. There was no injury that I could find, which was a blessing from God. That's God telling me that no weapon formed against me will prosper. This attack, this is an attack, actually. I know things can be quite literal, so I did pray against this dream. Any assignment of the enemy over my life, I prayed against that in the name of Jesus, and I pled the blood of Jesus over me. But this is symbolic of, anytime it's your head, it's your mind. So it's symbolic of an attack on your mind. And so this word goes deeper, and it's beyond just me, because it's for other believers as well in this hour. It's symbolizing an attack on the mind from the enemy. And we know that in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the full armor of God, and the helmet of salvation is what will protect our mind. And so God highlighted to me that this was an attack. It symbolized an attack on the mind, and that the helmet of salvation covers the mind from lies and mental attacks from the enemy. And I asked God to tell me what it was that he wanted to say to me about this more in depth, and he did give me his words, and I wrote those down to share with you. And then he gave me some scriptures, literally just opening the Bible. He showed me scripture I've never seen before. Well, I've seen it because I've read it, but it didn't stand out to me before he highlighted it. So let's see. So this is what God said to me on May the 1st. And it after this, I had felt led to share the video on the silent killer in the church, and it didn't upload until May 2nd, even though I recorded it that night of May the 1st. So this is what God gave me before I shared that video and every video after that. This is what he spoke to me about this attack. He said, "Many will come against my word through you with wild accusations and doctrines of men claiming they know the truth, but my word will test what is the truth. Listen, I will take that which the enemy throws at you and make something great for my kingdom. I will cause an outpouring of repentance and true restoration of souls to myself. Hold the line. The dam is breaking, and all who hear will cross over just in time." So it was really interesting, because he talked to me about a dam breaking, and I was like, what? You know, what are you? What is that symbolizing? And this is what he gave me. When I opened the Bible, he gave me 2 Kings 2:20. And do I have it open to that? No, but I wrote it down. And this is the New King James Version. This is the portion of the scripture that he highlighted to me after he said, "Hold the line, the dam is breaking, and all who hear will cross over just in time." These are the words from 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 20. "Suddenly, water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. I was like, wow. You know, when a dam breaks, what's going to happen? The land is going to fill with water. And so he gave me that, and then he gave me Ezekiel 3:16 through 21. And it says, I've got that open right here. It says, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. So God gave me this, and I fear God. I respect him. I love him. I fear him, and I want to please him. And so I'm sharing this with you. And, you know, just even as rereading this, I'm reminded of how so often, anytime that the Lord leads me to talk about living a pure, holy life where you pick up your cross and you lay down your favorite ways to sin. Whatever that lifestyle of sin looks like, something that you have gotten pleasure from, something that is hard for you to let go of or turn from. Every time that I share something like that, the conviction that it brings, the scriptures about living holy, how God has called us to live holy, people, there will be some who will say, oh, you know, that's works. We don't have to do anything. Jesus did everything. We don't have to do anything. God wants us to turn from sin. He wants us to live holy. His word says it. And so we're not going to ignore God here on this platform that he has created. We're not going to ignore him here. We're not going to write off everything that is good as a work, and that we think that we're saving ourselves when we choose to live righteously and holy, when we turn from our sin and we give it up and we say, Jesus, you're more important. We want to follow you. We want to listen to you and do what you say. We're not going to turn from that here. I'm going to listen to God. And I pray that everyone who comes here will listen to God. And I'm going to repeat this part. I have a distraction right now. Sorry. I'm going to repeat this part because I really think it's important, you know, for this to sink in. It's Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 20. You know, at first we were talking about a wicked man, and now God's talking about a righteous man. He talks about wicked and righteous, warning them both. So we're going to go back to talking about the righteous man. And this is chapter 3, verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, sin, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. So he's saying here, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, that's what God wants me to do. That's what he wants you to do. He wants all of us to do that. We can't choose sin over God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and just chalk it all up and say, but Jesus died for me. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to change. I would never be good enough in and of myself, so therefore I don't have to do anything. I don't have to change. That is an extreme mindset that will lead you to hell. If you think that you can call on our Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior to save you, which you can, and he will save you, but if you think for 5 seconds that you can ignore Jesus after that and live and indulge in your sinful lifestyle that you love so much that you're not willing to even try to give it up for him, if you think that you can do that and that he is going to face you one day and tell you that he knew you, you are asleep and you are in danger. Please wake up. He wants me to tell righteous people who, you know, feel like they're in right standing and who have come to him already to make sure you're not walking in a lifestyle of sin. If nevertheless, this is Ezekiel 3:21. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. We can't ignore things. Please don't ignore God's word. I've shared many places where it talks about how we're to live holy and how we're to follow Jesus and listen to him. He even asks in the word, he even asks this question. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? When I read that, I thought, I don't even know everything he said because I hadn't read all the Bible yet. I was going in order and it was in Matthew. Pretty sure it was Matthew 7:21 that he said that. I should have it memorized by now with how much I quote it for him. I'm going to double check myself so I don't want to tell you wrong. But yeah, it's right here. It's titled, I Never Knew You. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, actually, that isn't what I just said. So see, that's one of them, and I'm glad I'm double-checking myself. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So a lot of people call on him, profess to know Jesus, and you know that he's their Lord and Savior, but he's not. Not if you don't listen to him. Not if you call on him to be your Lord and Savior and then go back to the world and you don't open this Bible and read his words that he left behind for us and learn from him. So it must have been in Luke that I was quoting to you, because that's another one. Maybe it's Luke 6:46. That's standing out in my mind. No, that's build on. Oh yeah, it is. I second guessed myself. I was like, no, that's build on the rock. That's what it's titled, but it's Luke 6:46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why do we? I did that my whole life. I can tell you why I did. Because I didn't know. I truly didn't know. I listened to Christians that said, once we're saved, we're good. We're always going to have sin, so Jesus died for us. So because he died for us, we're good. You've accepted him. You're good. Don't worry about it. Should you live better? Yeah, you should, but I mean, don't worry about it. Nobody lives right. Nobody does it. It's okay. You love Jesus, and Jesus loves you, and you're going to go to heaven one day. You're a good person. I grew up hearing that, so I wasn't afraid. I wasn't concerned. I hadn't read the Bible. When I read Jesus himself talking to me and saying, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, Heather, and not do the things which I say. That was personal when I heard that, because I knew I wasn't doing everything that Jesus said, because number one, I didn't even know everything Jesus said. And I was like, whoa. I knew it was urgent for me to read this Bible, and I couldn't wait to get to the New Testament so I could see, lay eyes on everything Jesus left behind for us, so I could learn him better and follow him better. I knew it was urgent. I didn't know it was that urgent. No one warned me. Everyone just said, you're saved. You're fine. Don't worry about it. That breaks my heart. They mean well. But to call him your Lord, your Savior, and to not do the things that he says, do you know what he teaches here? Have you read this? He teaches that if you don't listen to him, you're going to fall. That's what he teaches. And if you do listen to him, you won't fall. I could sum it up for you. That's what he's saying. But I'm going to read it to you because it's really short. But why do you call me? It's Luke 6:46 is where we're starting. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently. Oh my goodness. I didn't even tie this. Wow, God. Wow. Hold the line, the dam is breaking, and all who hear will cross over just in time. 2 Kings 2:20, suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. This is a revelation for me right now. Definitely being led by the Holy Spirit to read the scripture to you. Whoa. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing, is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. We can't read these words from Jesus and ignore him based upon what we have heard and been taught since the time we accepted him into our heart as our Lord and Savior and got baptized. We cannot ignore these words from him. Do you understand how serious this is? He's teaching here. If you call on him as your Lord and Savior and you ignore him and you don't listen to him and don't follow everything that he says, it's for nothing. He will tell you he doesn't know you. Please let that sink in. Please don't think, I'm saved. I'm good. Stop talking, Heather. I'm going back to sleep and quit trying to wake others up. Please stop coming and leaving comments that are basically saying that. It's not me. God wants this to come out. These are his words. This is his prophetic words and dreams that he's placing for me to share. I'm his mouthpiece. My mouth can't stop. It belongs to him. I'm surrendered to him. And I'm going to give these warnings. I'm going to warn. I'm not going to fall for not warning. And I care enough about other people that even if I wasn't going to fall for not warning you, that I would still do it. Because his love for people is in me. He's in me. So all this is from love. And please, everyone, don't think that you have it all figured out just because you've been taught a certain mindset. The mindset I had about salvation in Jesus, that went out the window when I read the word. I know that he died for me and that there's nothing that I could do in and of myself in this world to get to heaven. Back in the day, they had to sacrifice animals every single time they sinned, and they were doing their very best before Jesus came to make it into heaven by living righteously. And when they would sin, something had to die. It took a blood sacrifice every single time sin happened to cover that sin. So Jesus is simply and greatly our final sacrifice. He is the final sacrifice. So we don't take animals to a priest to be sacrificed every time we slip up now. What do we do now? We repent. They were repenting when they brought an animal to be sacrificed for that sin. There was repentance behind that, okay? So just because we don't take an animal and sacrifice for our sins anymore, because Jesus was that final sacrifice for us, his blood is the last blood that's needed, okay? He did that. He did that for you. He did that for me. That's what he did for us. And that's huge. And that's what everyone has focused on. But they veered off with that exciting mindset and made it something that it's not. What that doesn't say is that from here on out, we don't have to not sin. Like the people in the back in the day when they would slip up and sin, they weren't actively walking in it. They weren't trying to. People who were really trying to get to heaven, they weren't actively walking in sin. They had to go and buy an animal, spend money, take their time, and repent every time they slipped up. So they didn't want to do that intentionally, okay? They weren't trying to live a lifestyle of sin. They were trying to overcome sin without the Holy Spirit's help. Okay, so Jesus comes. We don't have to do any more blood sacrifices because he's that blood sacrifice for us. And we have the Holy Spirit now who has come to be our helper and help move and guide us. So that way we can resist sin. So what? Are we to say that we could just go on sinning intentionally because we don't want to fight it? No. No. Jesus didn't come and die for you so you could keep sinning. He came and died for you so that way you wouldn't have to live like they did and sacrifice an animal every single time you slipped up. And he gave us his helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us to live inside of us so that way we have direct connection to Jesus and our Father God now, and we don't need a priest to be in between for us. You all, this is not works. This is not being under old law. This is following Jesus, listening to him, and knowing what the Bible says, that do not be deceived. In 1 Corinthians, it's talking about how all these things you can't do. You can't be a drunkard. You can't be an adulterer. You can't be sexually immoral. There are so many things that you can't do to inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. We're warned. And Jesus is saying we just have to listen and we have to pick up our cross and follow him. We do. So believing in Jesus is not your get out of hell free card. He's not going to recognize you if you're just being lukewarm and not turning away from your lifestyle of sin, not allowing the Holy Spirit to help you do that. You have free will. You have fleshly desires. You have to turn them down. It's hard at first, but it gets easier because when you surrender, eventually your spirit is stronger than your flesh, and it gets easier. I promise it gets easier. When Jesus is your focus, you will live for him. I used to be lukewarm. I had one foot in the world, one foot in the Christian world, claiming Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But he tells me, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And I'm listening to him. And he tells me that not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm pretty sure that those were the exact words. I always like to look again. But He has told me this and he's told you this. I'm not going to ignore him. You can say that I'm doing works all you want. All I'm doing is living holy and following the example that Jesus left behind. And you need to do the same thing and not be comfortable in your sin and not fear God and think that you're grafted in with all your sin, like you could just bring it with you. We can't live like that. We can't live like that. It's the kingdom of heaven. I said kingdom of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And I've told you all, he brings me to 1 Thessalonians every single time after that now. And he says here in chapter 4, verse 3 in 1 Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Because, I mean, we just heard him say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does the will of my Father in heaven is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? It's what Jesus says, not me. It's what Jesus taught me. And that's what he's trying to teach you. He needs you to unlearn your mindset that you've learned from other Christians. He needs you to learn from him. He's saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, for this is the will of God. This is the will of his Father in heaven, our Father God. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, does not reject me. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. You can argue all day long, but you're arguing with God. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. I'm just the messenger, and I know I'm going to hear it, but really the person who needs to hear it, I say person, God. You need to take it to God and say, God, she's sharing this. This doesn't align with how I view you, how I've grown up, how I've been raised, how I've accepted my salvation in Jesus. This doesn't align with what I have been led to believe. What is she talking about, God? Show me, help me. I need you to tell me. That's all you have to do. Take it to him. Please take it to him. If I hadn't read this Bible, I wouldn't have known up from down. And I was a Christian before, and I thought I did. And some Christians have read this, and then, you know, they'll get angry and say that basically they're older than you, and they know more than you do. And, well, I have people like that in my own family, but pride isn't going to get us anywhere. We all need to be teachable. And when I'm literally quoting scripture that just doesn't go along with your lifestyle, I'm sorry, but the scripture stands. Your lifestyle's got to change. There's something about this scripture that's irritating you, that's convicting you, because there's something you don't want to let go of. There's something you don't want to accept. And you need to take whatever that is that's popping up in your mind right now, and you need to take it to God and ask him. It's as if people think that it's impossible to turn from it. So this can't be true because it's too hard, right? I know there's some of you who feel that, and you feel like, well, that's just impossible, and that's why Jesus died for me, because I can't get myself into heaven because I'll never be good enough, right? You've thought that. We've all thought that. But I'm telling you, it's a lie from the pit of hell that you can't fight it because the Holy Spirit is in you. And the Holy Spirit can help you. You don't know the power that you hold. If you stay in that lie that the enemy has placed on your mind that it's impossible and it's just too hard and no one can do that and no one does that and that everyone's still going to go to heaven because they believe in Jesus, if you will just put that lie aside and surrender whatever it is to God and ask Him to help you, He will help you. But you have to crucify your flesh. You have to deny your flesh. It's hard at first, but it will get easier because if you feed your spirit and come to this word and read things like this that I'm sharing with you, that God is sharing with you through me, if you will turn to the word and turn to Him and surrender those things that seem like they're mountains and they're just impossible, and that's the lie that has come over you, that's what Jesus died for you for, is so that you could be saved from that because it was too hard for you to break it. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you the power to deny your flesh, to crucify your flesh. We didn't have the power before, but because of Jesus and because of Him giving us His Holy Spirit now, we do have that power. We are expected to walk in it. It's all here. And I could repeat it over and over again, but you need to take it to God, okay? He is wanting me to wake people up and warn people. He's telling me, hold the line, the dam is breaking, and all who hear will cross over just in time. Please, 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 in the name of Jesus, please, brothers and sisters in Christ, please hear me. I'm not just talking to the lost, I'm talking to people who've been saved their whole life, who think that it's okay for them to continue to have a boyfriend and not get married. And live in sexual sin, who think that if they were to die in a car accident today, living in that lifestyle of sin, that they would make it to heaven. Please wake up. Please wake up. Please, please. We have to listen to the word. We have to. We have to, because it's listening to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The world will tell us that we're okay. We're not okay unless we're in this and we follow this. I want as many people to make it as possible. Many will come against my word through you with wild accusations and doctrines of men, claiming they know the truth, but my word will test what is the truth. Listen, I will take that which the enemy throws at you and make something great for my kingdom. That is for those of you who are standing for God's word, for Jesus, and the things that He said in the Holy Spirit, those of you who are living this, who aren't just claiming it, but who are living it. Those of you who God has set apart from the others that are around you, this is to you as well. He's saying He'll take what the enemy throws at you and make something great for His kingdom. It's not in vain when you get persecuted and trials and tribulations come at you. When you're standing on His word, it's not in vain. God sees that. Jesus sees that. The Holy Spirit sees that. It's pleasing to Him, okay? All we need to do is please Him and be an example and try and sound the alarm and get as many people to come as possible to cross over just in time. That's what this is about. And the last thing is when God gives dreams. I'd forgotten about this scripture. I was flipping through the Bible, and He gave me this section of the Bible to go along with the dream that I had. when I was making that video, The Silent Killer in the Church, he highlighted this to me, and I'm just going to read it again. I read it in that video, but I'm going to end with this because I'm full circle coming back to it. That's actually not it. I thought it was. Here it is. Okay. This one right here. We're in Job chapter 33, beginning with verse 14. Okay. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So I just wanted to touch on this, that God shared with me to share with you, that God speaks today. And when he gives people dreams, like he does me, it's for a reason. And it's just one of the ways, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. God is trying to speak to us all the time, and we go the majority of our life unnoticing it. But his word is truth. And it says in a dream, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night. And so he gave me this dream about this attack that would be coming on the mind. A mental attack and lies from the enemy. And it's truly to try and silence God's children from walking in what he's called them to, and to speak for him what he tells them to. And this attack will not prevail. No weapon formed against you will prosper in the name of Jesus. And it says, when he's speaking to people in their dreams, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. He gives instruction, and it can even save someone's life. It says, in order to turn man from his deed. So it's to give instruction and guidance in all things. It can be to turn man from his deed. And conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So to save your soul, literally, he will share things like this message that he's given me to share with you to try and help save people's souls. And it can quite literally save your life physically, because it says for God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, then skipping down, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed, skipping down, and his life from perishing by the sword. So, you know, when I had that dream about the car accident in my head, and then the next day I hit my head, well, I came against that. And so if God ever shows something to you or reveals something to you like that, a bad dream like that, you come against it in the name of Jesus. Every assignment from the enemy, you break it off of you in the name of Jesus, and you plead the blood of Jesus over you and all involved. That's what you do. God doesn't give you these things for no reason. He's trying to speak to you and me today, and he just wants us to be equipped and learn how to hear from him and to not get so distracted with the world that we never notice him. So, his word's the truth. This is all true. And I'm honored to be used, even with the persecution that comes. I will listen to Jesus. I'll take him seriously. And I will be judged for it. And so will you if you follow him too. But there's nothing else to live for. That's what we were created for. And in Jesus we find life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I don't want anything else. Even though he'll add to your life. When you put his kingdom first, he'll give you more things. He'll bless you. And then to honor him, you take care of those things. You show your appreciation and be thankful and grateful and acknowledge and thank him always for the blessings. Every single day that we're here is a blessing, even in the middle of warfare, because it's for him and we belong to him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll all have a blessed day and take everything back to the Lord. Take everything back to him and talk to him. He wants you to. If you have questions or doubts or concerns, please sit down and listen to him and ask and wait for him to answer. Don't just do all the talking. Open your word. Ask him to show you something. He'll start today with you, right where you are. And he's looking forward to it. He's waiting for you. So God bless you all, family, in the name of Jesus, and I'll be back when he leads me to.